So we got together and we all wanted to talk about something that we were thankful to God, something that we've been blessed with. And I thought I would talk today about friends. I've definitely been blessed with a great group of friends. So I'd like to start off with that. If you would turn to Galatians 6 and verses 10. That is Galatians chapter 6, verses 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. I've definitely been blessed with people in my lives who have definitely, you know, helped me out in situations. They've gone out of their way to know. If they had the opportunity, they've gone out of their way to help me. Even some complete strangers that I don't even know have gone out of their way to help me. And I think this is something we should definitely be strive to do, even to people we don't know. I remember I was driving down the street one day, rushing to a pizza place because I was going to get a discount before 6 o'clock. And then I saw these two guys stranded on the side of the road because their battery went dead. And I was like, but I want that pizza. But I was like, but I need to go help them. So I had like the cord, you know, so I hooked my battery up to theirs and I jump-start their car and I pushed them across the street, still with like 5 minutes left to go get a pizza. So I still made it. But, you know, I went out my way. I had the opportunity. I had the equipment to do it, and I went and helped them out. I did not know them, had no clue who they were, you know, but I still felt in my heart that I should help them, you know. And so I've definitely had people in my life who have definitely gone out to help me. I remember one time when I almost fell asleep in my car. Yes, it was bad. And I hit the side of the curb, and my tire popped. Trying to rush over here to service. And I just gave Francine and Brandon the call, and they came over, Brother Rowe and Sister Rowe, and they helped me, you know, put my spare on. They went out of their way, you know, they stopped what they were doing and just to come over and help me out. So definitely, it's definitely a blessing to have those kind of people in your lives who will definitely stop what they're doing. If they have the opportunity and they're able to, they will help you out. So definitely, if we have the opportunity, if we're able to, if we have the means, we should always help those who are in need, especially those who are in the household of faith. Let's turn to Proverbs 27 and verse 17. That's Proverbs 27 and verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This verse means a lot to me because back in my old congregation, back in my teen years, so long ago, I didn't really have a good youth group to, you know, to back up to. You know, when I was in high school, a lot of the teenagers I knew in my college, in my youth group, they were trying to serve God and also serve the world, you know, and they didn't really help me grow. I mean, I have a lot of friends who've helped me, you know, helped me, as this verse says, sharpen the countenance of your friends, but I've never had anybody to really help me spiritually. And not till I've come up here to Orlando and become part of South Seminole's youth group that I've actually had a youth to help me and to help me grow, you know, help me push forward. Because if I would have went somewhere else or if I would have stayed at the youth group I was, I probably wouldn't be up here speaking to you. I probably wouldn't be speaking to anybody on God's word. So I've definitely been blessed with a great group of youth and young adults to help me grow. So let's turn to Proverbs 17, verses 17. That's Proverbs 17, verses 17. A friend loves all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I think we can all say we're blessed with that person in our lives who, no matter what's going on, if we're having a bad day, if things are just going really bad in our lives, they're always there for us. I know I have friends who, even if I haven't talked to them in a while, I could just call them up one day out of the blue and be like, hey, I really need your help, I really need to talk to you, and they're there for me. We definitely say we've had those people in our lives we've blessed with. You also turned with me to John 15, 12 through 19. We read that for a scripture reading. I just want to go over this because I know I've heard people say, oh, I don't have any friends. I don't really have anybody in this life. And I've heard Christians say that too. But we should always remember that we have that greatest friend in our lives. We have the greatest friend we will ever have, and that's Jesus Christ. He's always there for us, and he will always be there for us. You know, I thought I had a former best friend. I thought she would never leave my life. I thought we'd be best friends forever. But things happened in her lives, and she just ran out of my life. And I don't talk to her anymore. You know, but I thought she'd always be there for me, and then, you know, I thought we'd be friends for forever. But, you know, she left me. But Christ will always be there for us. He will never leave us. I think we should always remember that, that Christ is there for us, that perfect person, the one who died for us, that we have a way into heaven, that Jesus Christ. He will always be there for us and always be there when we've fallen and we need to get back up. Let's turn to Matthew 12:48-50. That's Matthew 12:48-50. But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." It's definitely a blessing to know that Christ has called us his brother and sisters. If we truly obey his will and do what he says, we are like his brothers and sisters. And that is an amazing blessing to know that he called us her brothers and sisters. Let us turn to Colossians 3:12-14. That's 3:12-14. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and longsuffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But also all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." I've definitely been blessed with an amazing church family here. Definitely all these attributes I've definitely seen here. I mean, the Carters, long-suffering. They've put up with me for 5 years, so, you know. But definitely a great church family. I think we've all been blessed with just an amazing church family. Now let's turn to Romans 12:10-11. Romans 12:10-11. "Be kindly affectionate for one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord." I want to look at giving preference to one another. I just graduated from college, and, you know, I'm looking for a job. I haven't found one yet, but I know the Lord will bless me with one soon. But I definitely have been blessed with people here who have gone out of the way to help me get a job, to put my name out there, to help me with my resume, you know, and have gone out of their way and what they're doing just to help me out. And that is definitely an amazing blessing to have those kind of people in your family, in your church family, your brothers and sisters who are willing to go out of their way to help you. So it's definitely a blessing. I know Brother Rowe and Sister Rowe was just telling me how they were looking at my resume and were trying to find some places for me, you know, to apply for. So that's just an amazing blessing to have those kind of people in your life. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verses 12. That's John chapter 1, verses 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." It's an amazing blessing to have Jesus Christ as our friend. And if we believe in him, if we obey his will, he will make he'll give us the right to become a child of God. So if you're not a child of God, think about that. Meditate on these things and think about that as we listen to another sermon about prayer. Thank you.
Here tonight will agree with me. And in this world, it's kind of hard to find something that you're thankful of sometimes, especially with all the negativity, and find something that you're thankful for. Especially me, because I'm a young man and I'm growing up in the world, and it's kind of hard growing up with all the negative things that I have surrounded by me and what I'm influenced by. But it's something that I always remember. It's prayer. That's where I find my happiness, and that's where I'm very thankful of. No matter if I'm praying for others or if I'm praying for myself. I actually found something that was very funny. I remember I was riding the car with Milan one day, and he was telling us that he wanted a new car. And it was when he had the gray car. And I was like, man, you know, I really hope Milan gets that car. So I prayed that night. I was like, can Milan get this car? You know, I don't know why I was excited, but I was. But I came outside one day when he was coming to pick us up for Wednesday night service, and I saw the car, And I was like, you know, who's that in my grandma's driveway? So, you know, I looked out and I was like, hey, that's Mylon. I was like, Mylon, you got a new car? He was like, yeah. He was like, just, you know, like, yeah, I got a new car. But I was really happy. Like, I was excited. And I was like, you know, it worked. No, but but prayer can go a long ways. It's just great to, you know, sometimes, some nights, you know, you had a hard day and you don't know what to do. Just some nights you just go in your room and just have that great avenue of prayer. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes we forget that we don't have to pray when things go wrong. Like, we can always pray and be thankful for the things that we have, especially if, you know, if someone gives it to you when you really need it. Let's go to another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Jesus Christ for you. Sometimes we forget that, you know, without God, you know, nothing's possible, you know, but with God, anything is possible. No matter if, you know, you pray for something and it might not come right then, but God will, you know, it will happen. You just got to be faithful. You got to, you know, do God's will. It's not just going to come, you know, just like that. It's not magic. You know, it's a blessing from God. So that's why sometimes we got to remember that. Another verse that really caught my eye, 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 through 16. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin, not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. But sometimes when we see somebody struggling and they really need that help, prayer works. It really does. You don't want to see your brother doing something wrong and, you know, if you don't know how to approach it, pray about it. That's all. That's not all that you need. But if you don't know what to do at that time, just pray about it. God will hear your prayers. But prayer is very essential to my life because sometimes I don't know what to do. I'm young. It's a crazy world out there. You know, I just want to live life right, and prayer has always helped me. But let's all think about prayer and let it be essential to everyone's life. Now we'll have our opening prayer.
All right. Today's scripture reading will come from Psalms chapter 103, verses 6 through 14. And again, that is Psalms chapter 103, verses 6 through 14. And it reads, "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Good evening. Tonight, I just want to talk a little bit about forgiveness. Growing up, I was exposed to a lot of water activities. My family owned, we had three kayaks, which we frequently used on the St. John's River and the surrounding area. One day, my brother and a few friends they were on the water. And at the time, I was a little younger than I am now. So on this day, I was kind of just watching from afar. But being the mature adolescent that I was, I began to horseplay with a kayak paddle that was nearby, and I actually ended up breaking this kayak paddle. Not many people know my dad, but he doesn't like his things being messed with, more or less because he doesn't want us to break them. So when time came around for me to tell my dad what happened, I may or may not have blamed my brother. Like I said, I was a lot younger at this time, but I was scared of my dad, and I was scared of my dad being mad at me or being disappointed in me because I messed up on two accounts. As Christians, we are going to mess up because we are human, and we are going to do stuff that is vile to God. But if you will turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we have a little bit of hope. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it reads, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And what I want to hit on tonight is that I'm thankful that his forgiveness is different than our forgiveness. If you take a moment and look over all the times you've been involved in a situation where someone has messed up, has there ever been a time you've held a grudge? I know I have. Are you not thankful that we are not held to the same standard we might hold others? That if we sin against God, he won't hold a grudge against us. His forgiveness is never ending. If you would turn to Psalms chapter 103, part of the scripture reading we had tonight, verses 8 through 14. We're just going to reread the last half of this. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord will have compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." How wonderful is that? That in verses 9 and verse 10, "He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our iniquities." He is not holding that grudge against us. As Christians, we don't have to worry about God holding a grudge against us because he completely removes it. There's a reason that this imagery of the east and the west are used in this passage. Because I start to think about how far the east is from the west, and my head starts hurting a little bit because that is unfathomable. It is never ending. To push this point even further, we see God's forgiveness in action. If you will turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, we see the account of the thief on the cross. In verse 39, it reads, One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Even while man did not forgive the thief, Christ was still willing and able to forgive him. We might walk out of here tonight and we might sin because of something we may not even control. We might mess up. But as Christians, we need to be thankful that God is willing to forgive us if we are willing to turn away from that particular sin, even if man is not willing. Thank you.
The invitation song this evening is going to be hymn number 569. We would all like to thank the elders of the congregation for designating this time for the younger men to be able to come up and serve God and the congregation in this way. We always appreciate the opportunity that we have to present lessons, present our thoughts on the things that we have studied out of God's Word. And afterwards, we always receive so much encouragement from each and every one of you. And that is something that we're all thankful for. And it really motivates us to want to do more and more for God. And I know it makes it just that much easier to come up here and speak every single time that we do it. So we're very thankful for these opportunities. Again, this evening, our focus was on things to be thankful for. I wanted each of the young men to think about one thing that they were thankful for, that they find peace in. Not just something that they're thankful for, but something that they can find peace in. Sometimes, like Jeffrey was saying, it is easy for us to lose sight of the things to be thankful for, or things to be happy about, or things to have hope in. Sometimes it's hard for us to meditate on things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, when we see that we have so much negativity going on around us. We turn on the news and we see scenes of police brutality. We listen to the radio and we hear politicians going on and just really bashing each other, really saying nothing of any value at all. We listen and we hear stories of people fighting flamingos at theme parks and all this craziness that's going on around us. There's just so much that we hear that gets us down. And I know I do it. I've heard my parents do it. We start to think, what is this world coming to? Where is the sanity? The news just really makes it seem like we have nothing to be thankful for, nothing to be happy about. Sometimes I feel like I should just really stop watching the news and reading it. Probably be a little bit happier that way. But because they really try to push on us that there's nothing good going on in this world. This is, I think, a tool Satan uses. Satan wants us to feel down. He wants us to focus on these things, focus on the negativity that surrounds us. That's one of his methods to win people over to his side, by constantly bombarding us with all these things, to make us give up on God. But fortunately, God is always not one step ahead, not five steps ahead. He's light years ahead of Satan. And he planned from the beginning of his creation to establish an organization, establish a way for us to be connected to him and be connected to each other, to encourage each other. And that organization is the church. The church. And that's what I am so thankful for. We already read Romans chapter 12, verse 10 to 13. I find it funny, someone else wanted to use the verse. But we're going to go ahead and read it again. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 through 13. This is Paul. He's talking to the church in Rome. And again, he tells them, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. See, these are the qualities that we find in the church. These are the qualities that each and every brother and sister that's here tonight seeks to embody. And that's not something that you can go out and really find in the world, a group that has this as their purpose, to embody qualities like this. We're to be kindly affectionate to one another, to show each other love. We rejoice with each other. We suffer patiently with each other. We see each other's needs, like TJ mentioned, and it moves us to be hospitable, to look out for one another. This is why I love the church family. There's nothing greater than that this bond that we have. I'm so thankful for it because, again, you can't find these qualities in the world. This morning, Brother Gary reminded us that in this church family, we find safety and security, just like they found safety and security in the ark. And this is a fact that I am so thankful for. And I was reminded of this fact, of the safety and security that we find in the church during my recent trip to Seattle. I'd like to share how I saw this. While I was in Seattle, I had the opportunity to worship with the North Seattle Church of Christ on a Sunday morning. And after worship, a member there drove me back to where I was staying. It was about a mile away. And she gave me her number and told me, you know, if I needed anything while I was in town, to give her a call, let her know, and she'd be more than willing to help. So I said, thank you for the ride home, and went on my way. And honestly, at the time, I didn't think too much of the statement that she said. You know, it's one that I hear, hey, call me if you need any help. I didn't think too much of it. I didn't think I was going to need it. But 2 days later, I did need her help. Due to a series of events, my sister had to leave Seattle a little bit earlier than what we expected, and she had to fly to Philadelphia. So I went with her to the airport. Her flight was at 12 midnight, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. And my flight was 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So I went with her to the airport, and she got on her flight, and I just planned on staying in the airport overnight because my flight was only 8 hours later. Well, it turns out you can't stay overnight in the Seattle airport, and they told me I had to leave. So I looked and the hotels in the area, and there wasn't a single opening in any of the hotels. All 12 that were there, there were more, but I got discouraged after a while. I caught a cab and took a cab back up to North Seattle, where we were staying at an Airbnb, and went back to that home and knocked on the door, but no one was there. So here I was, 3,073 miles away from home, with two suitcases, two backpacks, and a guitar case on the side of the road at 12:30 with nowhere to go. And honestly, in that moment, I felt very helpless because here I am in a city that I'm not very familiar with, very early in the morning in an area that I'm not very familiar with absolutely nowhere to go, nowhere to lay my head. And at that moment, I thought of what Ms. Hansen had told me when she dropped me off, and I had her number. So at 12:30 in the morning, I gave her a call, and I explained to her my situation. And without hesitation, without questions, which caught me off guard, she immediately sent her son to come pick me up, and he did. And they brought me to their house, where I found a bed that was already prepared for me when I got there. And she allowed me to sleep there for the night. I woke up in the morning. She had prepared a breakfast for me. She made these wonderful little breakfast sandwiches. And we had good conversations. She drove me to the train station. I got on a train and went to the airport. And she gave me a bag of strawberries for my trip, too. But before I got out of the car, you know, I thanked her profusely for allowing me to stay in her home, for answering the way that she did at 12:30 in the morning. It just blew me away that she would do that. And so I was thanking her that morning. And I just asked her, you know, what, is there anything I could do? You know, do you want me to pay for the gas that she took or the money or the money that you probably paid for this food? And she looked at me and she said, I am glad I was able to serve God like this. Don't worry because we're family. Don't worry because we're family. And that just stuck with me. that me being 3,073 miles away from home was able to find family. Family. It was in that moment that I was reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." See, I know that Miss Hansen is a disciple of Christ because of the love that her and her family showed to me that night in Seattle with no place to go. This is why I am so thankful for my church family. I know that wherever I go, that I don't have to worry. And wherever you go, you don't have to worry because, well God is there, and more than likely you have family there as well. First John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." It's just such an amazing honor to be called children of God. We're all children of God. We're all brothers and sisters because of that. Since we're part of this family, there are so many things that we don't have to worry about like the world does. At the same time, being a part of God's family gives us responsibilities. And some of those responsibilities can be found in Hebrews chapter 10. If you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, verses we've read many times before. The writer says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." This is what our church family does. This is what it's designed to do. We're here to stir up love and good works with one another, to encourage one another. Every time we're assembled here together, that's exactly what happens. And I'm so thankful for it. I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, are thankful for this family that we have and this wonderful opportunity that we have to be a part of this family. Again, this evening, we talked about many things that we can be thankful for. We're thankful for prayer, the great privilege that we have, and the honor that we have to talk to God, the creator of this universe. Whenever we have that time to do so. We talked about being thankful for the Christian friends that we have. Friends that help push us towards our goal. We talked about being thankful for forgiveness, the fact that God forgives us. And also the fact that since God forgives us, we should forgive each other and do so the way that God does towards us. There are just so many things that we can be thankful for in this world. This world full of its distractions and negativity. So this week, I'd just like to challenge each and every one of you to do the same thing that these young men did this evening. Think of something that you can be thankful for spiritually. And pray to God. Thank him for that and meditate on that. Meditate on that. Don't let Satan distract you from thinking positively and spiritually. Think about the things that we could be thankful for. There's so many things. We've only hit on a little bit this evening. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. And that place is prepared for a prepared people. If anyone feels like they're not prepared this evening and know what they need to do, they would like to put on God in baptism, this time is for you. If there's anyone here this evening that would like the prayers of the church for encouragement in this world, or prayers to be more thankful, prayers for anything, this is the time to do that. Come forward as we stand and we sing for your encouragement.